I have a quick announcement before we get started. There's a car with their lights on. It's a Chevy Trailblazer with the license plate 823PDN. Okay, if you take care of that. My son's, as well as a number of his friends, 10 years ago when they were in middle school, band together and decided to put together a time capsule. A time capsule where they will go back 10 years later to open up. And that time is within a couple of weeks. It'll be in early January. They are going to look for to getting together, to check out what they wrote to themselves as well as to each other some 10 years ago. They will also reclaim some precious belongings that they left within that time capsule. They were longing to come together. They waited a long time for this. It's a time for them to look back at where they were, and also it's a time for them to look forward as to what will come. That date is arriving very soon. And even as we celebrate the Advent season, it's a time for us to look back and what Christ has done for us when He first came. It's also a time for us to look forward to what He will do for us in the future. Now, I'm not sure if you know the word Advent. You know, we talk about the Advent season. Advent basically means arrival. You're looking for the arrival of the coming Messiah. See, in the Old Testament, prophets prophesy that there will be this Messiah that will come. See, the word Messiah, we use that a lot too. Messiah basically means anointed one. There were three offices in the Old Testament that was anointed by God. They had special responsibility that God's given to them. And they were the priest, the prophet, as well as the king. So the Jews in the Old Testament, as they were anticipating the arrival of this Messiah, more specifically of this king that will come to reign over them. And the Jews were focusing much more on the physical deliverance of the people, that this king will be ruling over them on earth. And when Jesus first came, He came to instead for a spiritual deliverance. And as a result, because the people were looking at the wrong thing, they rejected Christ. The word Christ really means Messiah. See, they're all intertwined together. Christ means Messiah. Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy about this coming Messiah, the anointed one, the priest, the prophet. See, the priest intercedes for man to go to God. And a prophet speaks on behalf of God to man. And Jesus Christ was the mediator between God and man. So He fulfilled that as the Messiah. He will also fulfill the prophecy that He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that has not come as of yet. You see, the Messiah will come back a second time, or the second Advent. The first Advent is when He came to die on the cross, paid the penalty of our sins, provide us spiritual deliverance. In the second Advent, He will come to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And today, we'd like to take a look that new hope that the Messiah will bring to us. We'll also take a little closer look and understanding of who this Messiah is all about. And we're going to turn to Isaiah from our scripture reading. But before I do that, I'd like to just give you a little background. We're familiar with this passage that we read earlier, but I want to give you just what was the context of this passage. During the time of Isaiah, the nation was in very sad shape. The king at the time, King Ahaz, ruled over the southern kingdom of Judah. And he made a lot of foolish decisions that caused the country to be in a terrible situation. See, the king was concerned about being attacked by neighboring countries. So instead of seeking help from the Almighty God, he went ahead and found the biggest bully that he could find and paid the big bully to protect them. That was the Assyrians. King Ahaz felt pretty good about it. Felt secure. Oh, I have this big bully that's going to take care of me. And we find that Isaiah prophesied that these Assyrians, the ones that were supposed to protect them, they're going to turn their backs against the Jews. And that they were going to attack them. And that they will become captives. And they will be slaves. Didn't sound very good. This was a gloomy forecast. And we see this in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. It talks about this how the king's going to come. The king of Assyria is going to take them down. A gloomy forecast. Actually, when we look at where we are today, we also have a very gloomy forecast when we look down the road. Like King Ahaz, we see that our government have made some unwise decisions that move our country from being a lender country to a debtor country. You know, we owe some $12 trillion. That's with 12 zeros that we're going to have to pay back sometime in the future. The dollar has tumbled. Unemployment double digit. There's just great fears that the government might take over healthcare. What's going to happen down the road? We see morally, marriages are falling apart, families are broken. We're living in a dark and gloomy time. We see that the Israelites were judged because they departed from God. Instead of depending upon the Lord, they depended upon other people. And we see our country have also departed from God. And unless we come back to Him, we're going down a very slippery road that will lead to destruction. In spite of the gloomy forecast, Isaiah prophesies that there will be new hope. Yes, good days are coming ahead of us. Isaiah introduces in chapter 9 the advent of Christ, the arrival of the Messiah, the anointed one, Jesus Christ, who will come to give them new hope. You see, Isaiah, however, did not realize that there were actually two advents. That the Messiah is going to come two times. That He will come the very first time to save man from their sins. And He will come the second time to reign as King of Kings. So, let us dig into our passage today in Isaiah chapter 9. We see here, right from the very beginning, He speaks of the coming Messiah who will deliver the nation out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isaiah promised that there will be no more gloom. That's a wonderful promise. Particularly, we're in the sort of same situation, gloomy situation. What is our future? Notice in verse 1 and 2. So nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. God says, the Messiah is going to give us that light. Gives us direction. Give us security. He's there for us. It's terrible being in the dark. Yesterday, after the pageant, I went home, and as I turned into our street, I noticed all the lights were out. Our nativity scene in the front yard, we had a light on it, out. I tried my garage door opener, doesn't work. I go, oh, the power is out, you know. I walked in the house, pitch dark, you know. And as I made my way into the utility room to try to find the light, I ran over a chair and stubbed my toe. And it's not a good feeling being in darkness. One could stumble and hurt themselves. And you know, life is like that. We choose to walk in darkness or in light. And when we are without light, we could stumble and hurt ourselves. And Jesus, the Messiah, is the light. He gives us light, security. May we grab hold of that, what he has given to us. The Messiah also will increase their joy. Notice in verse 3, another wonderful promise. Isaiah says that they will increase in their nation as well as in their joy. It says, you have enlarged the nation and increased the joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. You know, there's a tremendous difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. When things are going well, hey, you know, who can't be happy? It's when things are not going well, how do we respond? And that's the difference between happiness and joy. Joy does not depend upon circumstances. And one still can feel secure in spite of situations not going our way. We be joyful because we know that God is in control, although we might not be in control. We hate to be not in control. But how much faith do we believe in the Lord? He promises true joy. And this joy is not, we don't have to wait until he come to receive that. We can have that joy within us, even today as we learn to trust him more each day. May we lay our uncertainties before the Messiah and asking him to give us a total different perspective that we might be able to have joy. As we go into verse 4, we see that the Messiah will deliver them from bondage. So not only do we see that the Messiah will give them light, secure directions, the Messiah will increase their joy, the Messiah will deliver them from the bondage. We see that this verse talks about an incident back in the Judges. You remember Gideon? Gideon, you know, he was hiding in a cellar because the Midianites would come and terrorize the country, destroy the crop, you know, destroy the people and take away all the crops. And God called them to deliver the people out of the hands of the Midianites. And there were 135,000 Midianites, strong soldiers. They were known to have metal weapons or like swords. And the Israelites didn't have metals. They had sticks and so forth. You know, 135,000 soldiers coming upon them. And Gideon, as you remembered, also called upon people to gather an army. And he had quite a number of people that came. But God says, well, he has too many people. And he went through a dwindling process, and they came down. You remember, they had, 300 soldiers left. And 135,000 getting 300, not very good odds. Yeah? Well, in spite of this overwhelming odds, God gave them victory. It was a supernatural act. See, the Messiah can also deliver us from whatever bondage that we might be in. But really, when we add God on our side, we can have victory. God is bigger than anything that we face. And He can give us victory. Are there bondage that we might be going through? It might be greed. It might be a bondage of buying things. It might be a bondage of procrastination. It might be a bondage of pornography. It might be the bondage of insecurity. You know, whatever bondage that we might have, God promised, just like He has delivered Gideon, He can also deliver us out of bondage. You see that the Messiah not only give us light, will increase our joy and deliver us from bondage. But as we look at verse 5, the Messiah will also bring us peace. We live in a world that does not have much peace at all. It's always constant fighting, not only country against country. But we see to fightings even within the family. Hard to see peace. Ultimately, yes, all we can see when the Messiah ultimately comes, He will provide us complete peace. There will be no more war. It says here in this verse, in verse 5, it talks about military equipment and uniforms that are covered with blood. That it will be cast away, will be burned. We won't need it anymore. No more need a military fighting. There will be peace. We have new hope down the road that God will give us total peace. But yet, at the same time, God still can give us peace even today. I mean, we learn to trust Him. Not only did Isaiah talk about what the Messiah will do down the road, and also gives us a glimpse of what we can receive today. But in the next section, he talks about who this Messiah is. We get a better understanding. Who is he? In the next couple of verses, again, we sing this during Christmas and Easter. And we'd like to take a little closer look at what this is saying. All right, verse 6, the first half of the verse, it says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." Now, right off the bat here, we need to understand that the Messiah, that when he comes, he comes as a God-man. He comes in the form of man because it says, "For us a child is born." He will be conceived through a virgin. That's an impossible thing. It was a miracle. How that happened. And we see that that Christ humbled himself to become a man, to be one of us. That's absurd. But he connected with us, identified with us, so that he can pay the penalty of our sin. But not only that, but we see the second clause. It's not only for us a child is born, but to us a son is given. Who is this son referring to? And just if we flip back in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 14, it talks about this son that's going to be born down into the future, this Messiah. Notice it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. Now it's referring to this son. And will call him Emmanuel. And this son, referring to Messiah or Christ, that he will have a name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So on the one hand, we see the Messiah becoming a man, becoming human, so that he could identify with us and to die to pay the penalty of our sins. And yet on the other hand, he was divine. He was God. In order for him to really save us, he needed to be God to save us fully. So he's totally God and man. And this Messiah, Emmanuel, is God with us. He's always going to be by our side. And we thank him for his love for us. But yet at the same time, we know that he will come back. He will come back a second time to govern and reign on earth. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over the whole world. And he will rule over the world with justice and righteousness. You can take a look at this in verse 7 of chapter 9. The Jesus, the Messiah, will reign in David's throne. See, God made a covenant with King David. He says, you, through your descendant, you're going to have a king that will rule forever. And it is through Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, that will indeed rule forever. As we move on in chapter 9, verse 6, we come up with four descriptions of the Messiah. Again, we're very familiar with this. Notice in chapter 9, verse 6, it talks about Jesus being, or the coming Messiah, Christ, being the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus lived as a man. One of the main reasons he came to become a man is so that he could go through all the difficulties of life, to experience all that we experience, so that he might be able to sympathize with us, so that he could come be along our side to assist us through whatever trials, through whatever temptations that we have, that he's there for us. And because of that, he can be our wonderful counselor, because he could identify, he knows what we have gone through. Notice in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, as well as chapter 4, verse 15. It talks about how he sympathizes with our weaknesses, how he'd overcome all these temptations, that he was victorious. He was without sin. See, Christ being the wonderful counselor, he is there to guide us. He's there to encourage us. He's there to strengthen us, to conquer whatever problems that we might encounter. He's not only there to guide us, but he also has the authority as well as the power to give us the victory. That leads us to the second description, that He is the mighty God. He is the powerful, awesome God, that He could do anything. He is awesome. There is nothing that He cannot do. He specializes in doing the impossible. You see, we're never alone. For a Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And may we go before Him as our wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, gives us a tremendous promise to describe who God is. And it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." The same Messiah is by our side, God with us. Are there areas that we might be struggling with that we need to have it overcome? Maybe it might be an uncontrolled temper. Maybe it might be a loose tongue. Maybe it might be unresolved conflicts. Or maybe it might be just a deep depression that we're going through. Or maybe it might be a rebellious child that we have. May we come to the Messiah, for He is a mighty God, an awesome, powerful God that could handle any difficulties that we might have. But not only that, but we see that God, the Messiah, is also a personal God. Notice the next description. He's the everlasting Father. Jesus, Messiah, is the everlasting Father. This talks about this personal Father who's always going to be there by the child's side. The Father really loves His children, that He cares for them, that He comforts them, instructs them, leads them, and out of love disciplines them. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it talks about the God as the Father of compassion, God who comforts us. And the same Father, very personal. As you remember, Emmanuel, God with us, He is there. Our side. He's not someone that's way out in the distant that we don't know. He wants us to know Him personally. And we embrace Him. And the more we know Him, the more confidence that we can go before Him with our knees. And lastly, the fourth description of this Messiah is He's the Prince of Peace. You see, Christ is a source of peace. Well, the Messiah will come at the end and rule over the earth, and there will be no more war, no more brutality, no more divisiveness, no more prejudice, no more hatred, no more bitterness. That's something that we look forward to. That's wonderful. But yet, this Messiah can also give us peace today. He's the King that rules, and are we willing to allow Him to rule over our life? He's our Emmanuel, God with us. He gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Notice in the Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, again, very familiar passage for us. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." We have a tremendous Messiah that's upon us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. the Prince of Peace. We see that Isaiah, in this passage, prophesied about the Messiah that will come, and he will give light, who will increase the joy that we can have, deliver us from bondage, and give us peace. We see that the first arrival, the first advent of Christ some 2,000 years ago, that Christ came to save us and to set us free from the bondage of sin. And when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty of our sins. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And yet at the same time, we know from Scripture that the Bible prophesied that he will come back again, the second advent, the second arrival, to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice what Scripture is saying when Jesus was about to leave in John 14, 2 and 3. It says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be by where I am." And then at the very end of Scripture, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 16, talks about the Messiah coming. It says, on his robe, talking about Christ, and on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We do have great hope in spite of gloomy times that we might be in. May we embrace our Messiah. He's here and he will come back. And may we place our faith in him. For indeed he is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. May we allow him to be the King of our life and rule over our lives as we wait eagerly for his return. Let us offer prayer. Father, we thank you for what you have done.